We're going inside him. We're going outside him. Inside him, outside him. And when they get him on the run once, we're going to keep him on the run. And we're not going to pass unless our secondary comes up too close. But don't forget, man, we're going to get him on the run. We're going to go, 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 go. And we aren't going to stop until we go to our goal line. Don't forget, man, today, we're going to win.
And it's a fake. The throw is demanding. He bobbles it. And then it hits to the end zone. Touchdown.
Let's just go. He's got three people down there. The ball's up in the air. Caught. Touchdown. 4th and 5. The national championship on the line right here. He's going for the corner.
Welcome, fellas. We are live in the Gubs Corner Podcast Network. Thanks for tuning in. My name is Bobby Berger, former Notre Dame football player, now self-proclaimed college football aficionado. The goal is to be the premier college football podcast. Sorry for that pod there. If you're wondering how I'm doing, my beloved Bengals are on Thursday Night Football. Just saw Tua get hurt. Hope he's okay. But always love to watch the Bengals. I don't always watch the NFL, but and I do. I watch the Bengals. All right, let's get into it. College football got some exciting games this week. Trivia question. For trivia, we are doing the NFL edition of Where Did This Player Go to College? Always a good fallback. And there's a tough one in here. So the three players I want you to tell me that are playing in this NFL game tonight, where do they go to college? First one is T. Higgins, Bengals wide receiver. Next one's Evan McPherson, the Bengals kicker. And then Tyreek Hill, Dolphins wide receiver. If you name one of the three colleges he went to, I'll give you credit. So name where these players went to college. T. Higgins, Evan McPherson, and Tyreek Hill. Roll the music and think about it. All right. Trivia question. We need the colleges where these players went to school. T. Higgins, he went to Clemson, of course. That was the layup. Evan McPherson went to the University of Florida. And of all things, he actually wore an Auburn jersey into the game tonight. I guess his wife went to Auburn. And the tricky one tonight was Tyreek Hill, who was drafted in the 5th round out of West Alabama. Before West Alabama, he was at Oklahoma State. And before Oklahoma State, he was at Garden City Community College. So if you got any of those three colleges, you get points for Tyreek Hill. All right, let's get into it. Slate breakdown.
Wrong side!
Left side!
Wrong side!
Left side!
First game, Alabama-Arkansas. Alabama is a 17-point favorite. Over-under is 57.5. Dispersion in the Alabama offense, I mean, we talked about it. They haven't looked as good as previous versions. And Bryce Young's really, really good. I think they might have some offensive line issues. They wouldn't have went out and got a wide receiver in the portal if they loved the wide receivers they had in the program. And we're talking about Jermaine Burton out of Georgia. He's been probably their best one. And I just think they've missed on a couple guys. For every reason, they're not working out. We're starting to get the FEI stats rolling in. We'll get the success rate. And for Alabama to be 61 in success rate and run plays, they haven't played anyone. Like, just feels kind of weird, you know? Just not the typical Alabama we're used to seeing. Arkansas is a good, okay defense. I shouldn't say good. They're okay defense. They've actually struggled a little bit against the pass. That's where UC found some legs against them. So that'll be an interesting matchup to watch. Arkansas's really given up big plays in the passing game. That's really hurt them. And then the flip side, Alabama's defense is pretty darn good. Off to a terrific start this year. They have guys at all the levels. Only 200 yards a game. So DFS side, it's not one of those things like last year, like, okay, we have to play an Alabama player. I don't feel that this year. I really don't. A lot of rotation at running back. They are rotating a lot at wide receiver. They don't have and you're not going to have a Jalen Waddle every year. But, yeah, they just don't have a guy like that. I mean, Jermaine Burton, he's good. He's decent. He's no Jalen Waddle. I mean, it's as simple as that. Bryce Young, weirdly, he's running the ball a little bit, which is weird. But if he runs the ball like that, he's interesting. And then Trayshon Holden, he's probably one of the best receivers on Alabama, and he'd be the guy I'd probably be interested in. Arkansas, on a big slate, I am fading any of their plays. As far as a game line, man, in a typical year, I'd be like, Alabama, minus 17, great, but something just seems off about them this year. So I'm gonna stay away. All right, next team, Texas A&M at Mississippi State. Mississippi State's minus 4-point favorite, over-under is 45. Safe to say Texas A&M has big time, and I mean big time, underachieved this year. I think losing their defensive coordinator to be Duke's head coach has been a real blow to them, absolute blow to them. Clearly, it's helped Duke, as Mike Elko is off to a pretty good start with Duke Blue Devils. Texas A&M just hadn't found a quarterback, and Jimbo's offense just has not modernized whatsoever. Devin Achane is the running back for A&M. He feels like one of the safer plays. Evan Stewart, the freshman, he looks like he might be the real deal. So he's interesting too. Mississippi State side, as always, with the Pirate, Mike Leach himself. They are number one in pass rate in college football. They're looking to sling it on every play. Will Rogers likely throws for 300. Why? Because when you throw for 50 times, all you got to do is average 6 yards per attempt, and you're at 300 yards. It's that simple. So he's in consideration. However, he will lose rushing yards, which will hurt him. Also, A&M will play slow. Mississippi State wide receiver rotation is crazy. Like, I'm fine with whatever Leach does, but, like, this wide receiver rotation he has is just utterly ridiculous, I think. I get a little bit of rotation to keep your guys healthy, keep your guys extremely fresh or running a lot of routes, but he's rolling in like 12 guys. I mean, it's unbelievable. And I think you'll lose a little bit of timing there with a quarterback when you have all these wide receivers who have different attributes about them. So I don't love that. Maybe on Dylan Johnson, he's a running back, maybe interest in him. As far as the game line here, I know Texas A&M's a more talented team. So that's why I have a hard time going against them, even though Mississippi State has been better coached and they're playing better ball right now. I just have a hard time taking the least talented team in any given match. I just don't like doing that. All right, Kentucky at Mississippi. Ole Miss is a 7-point favorite. Over-under is 54.5. Will Levis, he could very well be pick 1-1. I know there's a lot of people who are really high on him as a draft pick. They like him in the league. So that is absolutely interesting to watch there. Kentucky's done a really good job in the portal. I mean, they got Levis, however you say his name. They got Tavian Robinson from Virginia Tech. Last year, they go out and get Wandale Robinson from Nebraska. Like, they are living in the portal and doing a really, really good job. Interesting thing about Kentucky this year, they are not running the ball at all very well. And in the past, Kentucky always had this really, really solid run game. But this year, it just doesn't seem to be there. So that's something to really monitor with Kentucky this year. And interestingly, it's almost like the coaches know that because they are passing the ball at a much higher rate than they did last year. So it is completely un-Kentucky-like if you've been watching Kentucky for the last, so many years. But good on them because you have a really good quarterback and a run game struggling. So good. So that being said, Will's playable in this game. Ole Miss is going to play fast. Tavian Robinson, I mean, he's interesting for sure. He's a good one. Then they have Key, Brown. Other guys are going to have to take a deeper dive in. Another big story for Kentucky, they do get Chris Robinson back. One of the things I always talk about, like, yeah, you got your running back Chris Robinson back, Chris Rodriguez. However, the running game has gone nowhere. Like, if the running back running game went a little bit, it went pretty good. Maybe we're not breaking the long ones. Yeah, maybe Rodriguez is make a difference, but I don't think Rodriguez is going to make a big difference when the holes just have not been there. I'm definitely on the side of I don't think running backs matter a ton. They matter more in college football. They matter in pass protection. But as far as like run plays, I think that's more offensive coordinator, offense design, and offensive line. So I don't expect like a huge boost because Chris Rodriguez might be back this week. Ole Miss, they've been less efficient this year. They're actually, their defense has been pretty good. Another team that's really used the portal to their advantage. They did lose a pretty good offensive coordinator in Levy, who went to Oklahoma. So that's going to be a tough one to watch there. Interesting, I should say. Ole Miss is running the ball basically the sixth highest rate in the country, which is crazy. They got running backs, Quinshon Judkins and Zach Evans. Zach Evans is dinged up. Ole Miss is one of those teams that just don't give you any injury information whatsoever. So, yeah, hard to know what they're going to do there. Ole Miss minus seven, the line feels pretty good. I'd probably lean Ole Miss over under 54.5. I'm going to stay away for that game right now. All right, let's get into our big horse of the week. All right, big horse of the week. Shout out to the Middle Tennessee State Blue Raiders. I mean, you just absolutely came into Miami. This would be very poor to make a hurricane joke, so I will stay away from that. However, yeah, Miami just didn't show up whatsoever. And it wasn't like, hey, Middle Tennessee State came in and absolutely crushed you. Like, no, they didn't. If Miami, you know, showed up and, you know, and Middle Tennessee State got lucky. No, Middle Tennessee State went in and freaking destroyed them. I mean, absolutely lit them up. So Middle Tennessee State, you are our big horse of the week. Oklahoma State at Baylor. Let's roll on here. Baylor minus 2.5. Over under is 56. I think Baylor's down a little bit from last year. They lost some dudes on defense. That's hurting them. Oklahoma State's defense has not looked good this year at times, especially in the first game against Directional Michigan. However, Oklahoma State's offense has looked good. We know Baylor's been pretty stout against the run. And I think there's some opportunity for deep shots down the road with Braden Johnson. I think there's definitely opportunities for deep shots there. So I'm interested in Braden Johnson for sure. Spencer Sanders is one of those guys. He's kind of hard to click, but he's an athlete. He can make some plays. And Dominic Richardson, the running back for Oklahoma State, is fine. I like Oklahoma State because throughout the years, their offense, they basically have three guys you can play. And then you have, on the flip side, Baylor, really hard to play this year. The running back rotation's been ridiculous from game to game. Not sure who's going to get the top work. And then Ben Sims is the tight end has been the leading pass catcher. They are absolutely struggling on offense. Dave Aranda, you're a great defensive coordinator. I'm not sure the name of the offensive coordinator, but he's got to go. I would lean Baylor. That is not an official pick because I have no confidence in their offense. Iowa State at Kansas. Iowa State minus 3, over under is 59. I mean, Kansas, Lance Leipold, you are our coach of the week last week. You're unbelievable. He's doing an excellent job. And if you look at this offense, if you want to just be like a an armchair quarterback and say, hey, this offensive coordinator is good or bad, obviously you got points. Just watch how many motions your offense that you're supporting runs. If they run a motion on every single play and you see a lot of different personnel groups and formations, chances are they're going to be a pretty good offensive coordinator. I think a lot of times the worst offensive coordinators are the guys that just get really stagnant out there. And then you're not forcing the defense to run around. You're not forcing the defense to change their coverages. And if you watch Kansas play, they do motion on about 100% of the plays. They have guys going all kinds of misdirection. Defenses are playing on their heels. And then they can run the quarterback, which adds a total of that different dynamic. Kansas, as always in DFS, you play Jalen Daniels or bust. It's pretty simple. And then Iowa State, Hutchison is really good. Hutchison's really good. He's a play for us. Kansas has struggled in the passing game. Hunter Decker's quarterback, maybe, but Kansas does play pretty slow. It's just they've just been crazy efficient. I think I would take the under this game, under 59. I took the under last week in the Kansas game. I think their offense is really efficient, but I'm not sure people understand how slow they get off plays. Like they do get off plays really, really slow. And we know Iowa State plays fast and or plays slow. And I think Iowa State's offense struggles just enough. And then they hold Kansas just enough because they're pretty technically, they're pretty fundamentally sound defense. That this game goes under 59. So that's a bet. Lock that in. All right, Texas Tech at Kansas State. Kansas State, huge win last week. Texas Tech, huge win. Kansas State minus 7.5. Over-under is 57. Tech had 100 plays on offense last week, which is absurd. They went 6 of 8 in fourth down, which I'll get into some more of that game later. Donovan Smith's a quarterback. He's flashed upside. Air raid offense, Texas Tech's actually rotating guys out a ton. So Zach Kittley, offense coordinator, we've seen when he was at Western Kentucky, he had pretty narrow rotation wide receiver. Well, Tech, now all of a sudden he's rotating 12 guys in and out. It's really hard to figure out. Miles Price got a ton of work last week out of the slot. I think that was just a benefactor. He was a benefactor of how Texas played. Don't think I'll get into the running back rotation. That's a hard thing to do. So Kansas State, they're just like Syracuse, basically from a DFS standpoint. You got the running back Vaughn, just like you got Sean Tucker for Syracuse. And then you have a quarterback, Adrian Martinez for Kansas State, where you have quarterback Garrett Schrader in Syracuse. Most weeks, one of these guys is going to do well. It's going to be really hard knowing which guy does well because we don't know how Texas Tech's going to elect to play defense. But I feel pretty comfortable and one of those guys doing well. As far as the line, Texas Tech, Kansas State, I think K-State minus 7.5 is a pretty good line. All right, let's get into the big dummy of the week.
A lot of miscommunication there, and that one doesn't feel good, and it's embarrassing.
All right, big dummy of the week. The big dummy of the week goes to, and I didn't pick up his name, but the Missouri running back. I don't know if you guys watch this game. It's one of the most unbelievable things I've ever seen. Missouri and Auburn go into overtime. Auburn is up 3 in the first overtime. Second overtime, Missouri heads the ball. They score a touchdown. They win, plain and simple. The running back breaks free. He's heading for the goal line. Again, mind you, he's already got a first down. He's already run for 15 yards. All he needs to do is go down, hey, first and goal on the one. Instead, he reaches his arm with the ball, mind you, from about the 2-yard line, fumbles on the 1-yard line, ball goes into the end zone, Auburn recovers it, game over. He could have scored a touchdown if he holds on to the ball. Instead, he fumbles. If he gets tackled at the one, Missouri probably wins on a first and goal from the one. But they fumble going into the end zone and lose the game. So Missouri, for not playing situational football, you are the big dummy of the week. All right, next one, Oklahoma at TCU. Oklahoma is a 6.5-point favorite. Over-under is 69. I'm going to take Oklahoma here, minus 6.5. I know they've had a few issues this year, but not a ton. I just have a lot of respect for Kansas State and their program, and TCU has really only played one tough game against SMU last week, and I thought they showed some holes late. SMU did not have a good start there. Both these teams do operate at a pretty slow pace, so that 69 does feel a little bit high, if we're being honest. I have half a mind to take the under there, but I won't. Oklahoma, this is the old Ole Miss offense from last year. They're going to run the ball a ton, and with Eric Gray, Marcus Majors, it's going to be hard to figure out, really hard to figure out them from a week-to-week basis. One thing with Oklahoma, I do wish they would throw the ball a little bit more. Marvin Mims, when he's been targeted, has been really good. Gabriel has some really good numbers throwing the ball. And part of that's probably because their defenses are you know, investing so much time trying to stop the run. However, when they have thrown, it's been pretty successful. So I'd love to see them throw the ball a little bit more this year. TCU, they're going to need to run the ball well to win. That's how you're going to beat Oklahoma. Kendre Miller, he's going to be the top guy. He's a zero in the passing game, though. Quentin Johnson, it's amazing the difference the offensive coordinator makes. He was a wide receiver. He played really well last year. He's a good, solid player. Get a new wide receiver, and yeah, nothing. Not that he can't do it, but he just hasn't been as good this year. And new offensive coordinator can do that. But when it's all said and done here, give me Oklahoma minus 6.5. They're more talented. I think they're better coached. And I think everyone's down on Oklahoma last week with the loss to Kansas State, who I think is pretty good and well coached. And then everyone's pretty high on TCU. And I'm not sure TCU has really played anyone. SMU's okay, but they haven't played anyone near Oklahoma's caliber. All right. Wake Forest at Florida State. Florida State 6.5-point favorite. Over under is 64. Heartbreaker. I mean, absolute heartbreaker for Wake Forest last week. They got way too conservative, I think. They just kept running the ball. I mean, hell, they were throwing the ball, absolutely slicing and dicing them. And then they just decided we're just going to start running the ball a ton when it was going nowhere. This is literally no sense. Especially when you look at Clemson, it's like, dude, you have a couple of defensive linemen up here that are surefire first-round draft picks, and we're just going to run right into them. It's just was stupid. Florida State, it's interesting. Like, I don't think they're that different from last year. It just so happens they're winning close games. I mean, they could have easily lost against Louisville, probably should have lost against Louisville. And then LSU, we all remember the LSU game when the LSU special teams was the big dummy of the week. I know we have a lot of diehard Florida State fans on this podcast who listen. Appreciate you guys. But if I'm looking from a 360 view to the ground, I'm not sure this Florida State team is much different than last year's. They're just winning the close games. So because of that, I'm going to take Wake Forest minus 6.5. It's kind of one of those things like preseason, I don't think too much has changed between the teams. And replace Wake Forest plus 6.5. I don't think too much has changed with the teams. And I think Wake Forest is just a better overall team in general. All right, anatomy of an upset. Good snap, good hold, and the kick is blocked. Appalachian State has stunned the college football world, one of the greatest upsets in sports history. Anatomy of an upset, this one hurts. Texas Tech at Texas. I play in a pool every year where it's a survivor pool. However, you're incentivized in this survivor pool to pick teams that have a small spread. Because, for example, I picked Texas last week. I would have only got 4.5 points added because they were a 4.5-point favorite. So Texas goes out 7.1 yards per play to Texas Tech 4.8 yards per play. I mean, just throttled them in the first half especially. Then they turned the ball over twice, including a fumble in overtime to end the game. And then Texas Tech goes 6 of 8 and fourth down, which was just the absolute thorn in the side. So it just sucks when, you know, Texas has like 97% win percentage expectancy at the end of the game and they end up losing the game. That sucks. So anatomy and upset, that's how you get it done. Don't turn the ball over like Texas Tech didn't do. And then do good on key plays, which was fourth down, and they were 6 of 8 in fourth down. So shout out to Tech players for doing well on fourth down in Texas. Congratulations for, seems like a lot of times now, you are our anatomy of an upset. Rolling along, Michigan, Iowa. Michigan is 10.5, over under is 42. Oh, man, I really want to take Michigan here. But, again, they really haven't played anyone either. The game last week against Maryland, they probably should have done better. And it's at Iowa. One of my buddies used to tell me, weird things happen out there in Iowa, and he's right. So I'm going to stay away here. Iowa's excellent defense, no interest in them in DFS. Michigan, Blake Corum gets 29 carries, kind of a surprise for me. You know, all year they had rotated guys throughout the first quarter. It wasn't like – I knew they played bad opponents, but it wasn't like – okay, Corum got the first couple series, and then they just kept, you know, switching guys out. No, they rotated guys in the first quarter, and then last week Corum literally gets every single touch for 29 carries. So I think we got to be interested in him. J.J. McCarthy, quarterback, I'm surprised he didn't run more. Pass catcher situation with Michigan is a complete disaster. Lots of rotation. Shortened up a little bit last week, but still, this team's looking to run the ball. When they get done running ball, they're going to run the ball again. No line in the game. I lead Michigan, but I got no balls. Michigan State at Maryland. Maryland's a 7.5-point favorite. Over-under is 58.5. Give me Maryland minus 7.5. Something's really wrong with Michigan State this year. I mean, I know Talia Tagovailoa is banged up. Not as bad as his brother, thankfully. But, yeah, it's something's just off of Michigan State. And I almost wonder, like, the same thing's happened with Colorado State. They bring in so many transfers that you almost lose the culture of your program. And if you lose the culture of your program and all of a sudden some of the transfers come in that haven't been with the team all the 3 years and building rapport, and then all of a sudden the transfer starts and over the guy who's been there 3 years earning his keep, like, that's got to be a pretty tricky dynamic to figure out as a head coach. It's a pretty fine line, I would think. So interestingly there, I almost wonder if that's been the issue with Michigan State, is we know they are loving to bring in transfers because something's not working. And Peyton Thorne is the other problem for Michigan State. He's been awful, absolutely awful. So I'm going to take Maryland minus 7.5 there. Teasing that down doesn't sound like a terrible idea either. Play Maryland wide receivers. Rakeem Jarrett, he's banged up. Got to watch that injury. Then you got Demus Jones. Demus doesn't look right this year. I know he had that big injury last year. Hey, Michigan State's made a lot of wide receivers look good. Maybe they can do it again this year. And the Michigan State side, Keon Coleman's been a pretty good wide receiver for them. He really has. Again, the problem's been Peyton Thorne. He's been freaking terrible, awful. And then the flip side, he doesn't have the run game to rely on like he did last year. Their run game's really been caught in the sand. So Maryland minus 7.5, lock it in. That's a pick. Let's get into our coach.
Thing to do, in to punch him, in to talk to him. There's only one way you get respect, and that's by looking somebody in the eye for 60 minutes. Go out there, hitch up your trousers, and say, hey, baby, here I am now.
All right, Coach of the Week, we are rowing the boat this week with PJ Fleck in Minnesota, coaching the Minnesota Golden Gophers. He's done an absolutely terrific job. He has a style up there. It's been incredibly successful. They call some of the best offensive run plays in their offensive line blocking system I've ever seen. They don't run a ton of plays, but when they do, they're very consistent. They're very purposeful. And last week, they played Michigan State, and they actually threw the ball with a lot of efficiency. They took what the defense gave them. So they're not the most talented team by no stretch of the imagination. But PJ Fleck's done a really good job building up players within the program, and he's done a hell of a coaching job because they're not just beating people. They're beating the pants off people. So PJ Fleck, you are our coach of the week. And coach of the week, that's appropriate because Purdue plays at Minnesota, and Minnesota is a 12-point favorite. Over-under is 52. Minnesota now, if Michigan State is as bad as I think they are, I'm not going to bet this game because there's a chance of that too. I should almost take Minnesota because one of those things is probably going to end up being true. But, yeah, I'm going to stay away from there. Purdue's kind of a tough opponent for anyone because they run a very, very good offense where guys are usually running open all the time. DFS interests Charlie Jones. Minnesota, it's obviously Mo Ibrahim or bust, who's likely to get 30 carries in this game. It's plain and simple. As far as the game, I'm going to stay away. I lean Minnesota, but I'm not going to go there. one Big Ten game to another. It feels like Iowa, Michigan all over again. But we have Illinois at Wisconsin. Wisconsin minus 7, over-under 43.5. It almost feels like this year's Minnesota is the new Wisconsin of old. It really feels that way. That's definitely a kudos you know, to what Minnesota is doing for sure. And Wisconsin, they haven't recruited well. They really haven't. If you're a Wisconsin fan, you got to get mad at the recruiting first and foremost. You can only hit on three-star players like J.J. Watt for so long. At some point, those three-star players aren't going to hit and you're not going to be any good. And that's what's happening to them. Illinois is upstart this year. That's an interesting proposition. So as far as this game, I'm tempted to take the under there, but I'm not going to. Illinois is running a little bit faster pace this year, so that's why I'm staying away. I would also be tempted to take Illinois, but I'm not going to. DFS-wise, it's the running backs. It's Chase Brown, Illinois. It's Braylon Allen for Wisconsin. Interestingly, last week against Ohio State, Braylon Allen's like, hey, I'm not coming out of the game, even though it's a complete blowout. So he got his in garbage time. So it's nice to know that Braylon Allen's going to stay in during garbage time. Those are the guys we like to play because they have that carry four. All right, then the last game, another Rock'em Sock'em Robots. Navy at Air Force. Air Force is minus 14. Over-under is 38.5. Navy's really not that good this year. But again, defending the option is about toughness, discipline, fundamentals, and playing sound football. So 14 is a lot of points for a service academy against a service academy. I do feel better about Air Force that they can throw the ball. I think that could present a ton of problems for Navy, an absolute ton of problems for Navy. And I think that's one of the ways they're going to beat them. I have no hope for Navy going against Air Force on offense. Navy's offense has really, really struggled this year. And they've struggled against teams they should crush with the offense, and they crushed in the past, but they just really struggled this year. They've really, really hurt, longed for a dynamic quarterback, and they just haven't had it. So I'm half tempted to take the under two, but I'm going to stay away from that game, even though it should do some damage. All right, let's get into the bets here. Boise State for Doc. Doc has six bets. Boise State minus six against San Diego State. Baylor minus two versus Oklahoma State. Let's see what line we set in the pod. 2.5. We'll give them 2.5 versus Oklahoma State. Cincinnati minus 9.5 versus Tulsa. UAB minus 10 versus Rice. Texas minus 9 against West Virginia. I like that too. Arizona State plus 25.5 versus USC. So that's six of them. Boise State minus 6.5 and 6 against San Diego State. Baylor minus 2.5 versus Oklahoma State. Cincinnati minus 9.5 versus Tulsa. UAB minus 10 versus Rice. Texas minus 10 versus West Virginia Mountaineers. And Arizona State plus 25.5 against versus USC. Myself, I only have four of them this week. So Iowa State versus Kansas, under 59. I like the under there. Oklahoma minus 6.5 against TCU. Wake Forest plus 6.5 against Florida State. And Maryland minus 7.5 against Michigan State. Through two games, we are dead even at 500, which isn't going to get it done. But I'm 10-12. Doc is 12-10. All right, let's roll into the words of wisdom. I'm not sure if this is too much. This isn't much words of wisdom. It's kind of just general thought on football. You know, seeing Tua go down with a head injury tonight. It's just not a good look for the league. Not a good look for football. You have a guy bouncing around like that last week. It could have been his back injury last week. But the optics of Tua getting hurt this week is bad for the NFL and bad for football, especially in a day and age when you're trying to prevent, you know, concussions. In football already has a problem of younger kids not playing at an early age. That's already a problem. So something to note there, and just thought I'd talk about that, but I'd probably prefer if Tua didn't play in this game. Now, obviously hindsight is 20/20, but I think that's a bad look for football, especially in a day and age when, a lot of young kids aren't playing football. So just thought I'd mention that. Anyways, guys, thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed the show. Feedback is always good. This is just Thursday Night Thoughts. There's a lot of news that's going to break, and you can always find the detailed breakdowns at GupsCorner.com. Until next time, guys, make some memories.